Amen. No,
let's start with a prayer. Dear God, I thank you so much for us being able to worship you today. You are awesome. You are our deliverer, our provider, our strength in times of weakness. You have graced us with your grace, forgiven us of our sins, given us your Son, and shown us how to live a life that's beyond the world and that is an example to others. Father, I just want to use the words of Paul right now to glorify you. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of you. How unsearchable are your judgments and your paths beyond tracing out. Who has known your mind, or who has been your counselor? Who has ever given to you that you should repay him? For from you, and through you, and to you are all things. To you be the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
You know, that ends the Romans chapter 11. Yeah. Some of the most beautiful words in the Bible. Some of the most beautiful words ever written. And I love that last song that we did together. Awesome. Someday when I'm old enough and bold enough, I am going to lead that song. And when it gets to the last part there about God being deliverer and provider, I'm going to throw down like nobody has thrown down before. That's probably more of a warning to you than actually something that would encourage you. But every time I sing that song, I get moved deep in my soul. And so I felt like I just had to start by praying. And it moves me every time I sing it. It, in a way, takes me up to heaven. Because I think when we get to heaven, that's what we're going to be doing. It's just letting God know all the ways that we enjoy him, all the ways that we benefited from him, and all the ways that we can think of to praise him. And that should start not when we're in heaven, but right here. And Paul talks about that here in Romans chapter 11. My name is Steve Kennard. I am actually from the Rockland Ministry, the Hudson Valley Ministry. Yeah, we have some people here from Hudson Valley today, right over here in the corner. And Lizette is getting baptized today. She's right there. She has a large extended family with her over here in the corner. Some from Queens, like Carlos and Lucy there. Some from the Hudson Valley. Perez and Melendez is there, and probably others that I'm not even aware of. But I love these people. They really help us tremendously in the Hudson Valley. Just yesterday afternoon, we had a big Latin devotional together, and I actually had somebody translating to me, which was awesome, and I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun together, but love you guys. Love you so much. Really happy that you're here. And Lizette, so happy to see you baptized today. This is fantastic. Romans 11, that's what I've been given today. Last time I was here, I went through Romans 9 and 10. And so we'll finish out really one of the most difficult passages in the book of Romans, and honestly one of the most difficult passages in the Bible. That's not to scare you. Okay, I'm not going to spend a lot of time using big words to describe all this today. Try to break it down as simply as I can, because I believe that we can understand it, even though it is a difficult passage of Scripture. We're going to be talking about the remnant today. I just have to look back. I don't see the monitor, so I need to sort of check where I am here. You can see Romans 9, 10, and 11 here, sort of what we went through the last couple of times. Let me just bring this out here for now. In Romans 9, we talked about God is sovereign. In other words, God is God, and we aren't. So let him be God. And that's basically the point of Romans 9. In Romans 10, God loves the lost, so let's be evangelistic. And you see Paul's heart for the lost there in that chapter. And here today, we're going to be looking at Romans 11, which talks about the remnant, God working through a remnant. And so let's live up to his calling, since he has called us and we are a part of his remnant. And speaking of a remnant, I want to just take a moment. I know last time I mentioned some of the baptisms we've had in the Hudson Valley in our campus ministry, but I didn't work through the slides. I got messed up, didn't realize what slide I was on, and I sort of stopped here. But this is Scott Muscat there on the right. He started a Bible talk on St. Thomas Aquinas campus. And as I mentioned last time, the first Bible talk, he put flyers out everywhere, and he had one visitor, his 12-year-old son. Okay, so it was him and his son in a big athletic room. He is the coach of the baseball team. So he gets the athlete's lounge is where we meet for our Bible talks. And it was only the two of them. But we sort of regrouped. We came back and started inviting more people, and more people started coming out. So since December, we've had a number of baptisms, and I just wanted to introduce you to some of our brothers and sisters. In a sense, this is a remnant. This is a calling of God to some people to come out of the world, be separate from the world, and be different. And on campus, they are living a different life, and really a bright light is being shined on campus, and many people have become disciples. This is Gabriel, we call him Gabe Vasquez. He was baptized in December, just before the break. We came back, and then this is Chase. Chase was baptized in January, the latter part of January. He's the guy that came back. He said, before he left, he said, I want to study out baptism. I gave him a lot of verses on baptism. He came back, okay, now I need to talk about these things. And I said, well, you're an athlete. You know what two-a-day practices are. He said, yeah, let's get together in the morning, get together in the evening. I said, let's do two-a-days. So we got together Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and he was baptized on Friday. He went and studied his Bible. He came back. He was ready to go. And and he's been doing amazing. He's an assistant coach on the baseball team at Nyack College. And then we had some other players baptized. Yanni was baptized in February. He plays shortstop, third base, or second base somewhere in the left side of the infield. He went out last week, and he hit 5 for 6 in a doubleheader. So he's a really good player. He usually bats first or second in the lineup. And then we have AT. He was baptized, I think, in March and no, February as well. And AT is a great guy. 2 weeks this year, back this past week, he was voted the Rookie of the Week in his whole conference. And he's the designated hitter, and he's actually the best hitter on the team. He's a freshman. And so he's a great, great kid. And this is David that was baptized recently. I wanted to show you these pictures as well, because since I talked to you last, we had two more baptisms. It says David. It's Chris, actually. Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe it's David Chris or Chris David. I don't know. Anyway. Just go on, Steve. It's Chris. And he plays on the baseball team as well. And then we had our first woman baptized, Alyssa, and she is on the softball team. We got to watch them play yesterday. She's at St. Thomas Aquinas, and she's one of the catchers on the softball team there. And prayerfully, we'll have another baptism on Tuesday night. The catcher for the Nyack team, who's a really good player also. He went 2 for 3 the other day. He picked 3 people off, stealing second. That's pretty amazing in one game, okay? Would have had 4, but the guy was slow on the tag. Okay, some of you baseball, Carlos knows what I'm talking about. Okay, some of you baseball people get that. Others are lost right now. So I will move on. Romans 11, you guys with me? Amen. In Romans 11, as I mentioned, we have the remnant being talked about. And in the remnant being talked about, it's the idea that God has chosen people to be called out of the world, to be his remnant, to be a light to the rest of the world. I have 4 points, but I'm going to go through them very quickly. I will cover some of them more than others, because it is a lot of material, and there's a lot to cover in this passage. But I wanted just to take a little time to talk about 4 points from this one chapter right here. The first point is in verses 1 through 10. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a remnant of grace. God has given us a remnant of grace, and he's called people to be a part of his remnant of grace. And since God has called us to be a part of His remnant, we need to live up to His calling.
All right.
Last time I was here, I talked about how it's great that God has selected us. And remember, I used the illustration about how when I was in elementary school, I was one of the smaller kids in my class, and I didn't want to be chosen last. And so I would always find the captain, the guy, the people that I felt like were going to be the captains of the team, selecting the team, and I would make them my friends. I would share my desserts with them, and I would make sure that they would choose me, even if it was just next to the last. I didn't want to be last. Well, as time developed, I got even smarter than that, and I figured out who was the better of the two captains. And then I would invite that person, you know, to have my dessert if they would pick me on their team. So eventually, I got to be on the winning team all the time. Okay? And it wasn't because I was adding anything great to the team. I just had a great captain. And that's really what God does for us. God is the captain of our team. And He's picked a remnant. And the great thing about being on God's team is you're going to be the winner. At the end of all things, when everything is said and done, you will be the last person standing. And that's a great thing. And it's not because of our power, it's simply because of who God is. And that's what Paul is saying here in this chapter. He has given us His grace. And therefore, we are happy to be living for Him. And we want to be a part of the last people standing. We want to be a part of the people that win. That's a great feeling, right? Great feeling to be a winner. I know not too long ago, my son-in-law, Rob, he got a ping pong table. His mom gave him a ping pong table. And he keeps it in his garage. And when the weather's nice, he'll break it out and he'll play some ping pong. And he likes to think that he's a good ping pong player. You know? So I was over there one day, and my son Daniel and Rob, they were playing ping pong with each other. And they were playing, you know, one game, two games, three games. And I was just sitting back watching, just looking, just seeing, trying to learn where they hit the ball, you know, what their strengths were, what their weaknesses were. And then after about four games in, I said, "I got next." And they both looked at me like, "You're kidding, right? You got next." And I said, "Yep, I got next." And Rob won. He beat Daniel. And so it was me against Rob. And Rob didn't know that I played ping pong most of my life growing up. I hadn't played in years, but that was okay. I could tell by watching them, I got this. I got this. And so he was like, "Okay, let's go, let's go." And the first time I hit it back at him, you should have seen his face. He thought, "This guy has nothing." And I hit that thing back at him, and he was like, "Oh, where did that go?" And I'm happy to say I beat him, and I beat him bad. And he was, after that, he was like, "Let's do another." I said, "I am retiring from ping pong." I put the paddle on the table, and I walked away. And I will never play him again. Because he's on the climb up, I'm on the climb down, I realize that, okay? But I'm the winner. I won that game. And it feels so good. It feels so good to be a winner. And God wants all of us to have that feeling. And He's chosen all of us to be a part of His remnant. Here it says, "I asked then, did God reject His people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject His people, whom He foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel, 'Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me.' And what was God's answer to him? 'I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal.'" Elijah thought he was all alone, but there were 7,000 others that were part of God's remnant. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. So there still exists a remnant, and it's chosen by grace. What then, when Israel saw it so earnestly, it did not attain, but the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears so that they could not hear, to this very day. David said, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. There's a lot in this passage of Scripture. But when you boil it down to what the big point is, God has a remnant today, and it is a remnant of grace.
All right.
And we get to be a part of that remnant of grace today.
Amen.
We no longer live by works. We no longer live by the law. Instead, we live in response to what God has done for us. And that's what grace is. Grace is a response. It's a response to all the wonderful riches that God has given us. Therefore, we have the opportunity to respond to Him and live for Him.
Yes.
See, the difference between works and grace is, works is, I have to do this. Grace is, I get to do this. Wow. Oh, what a privilege that I get to be a part of this. And there's a huge difference in those two attitudes. And what we need to do as people of grace, as people in the remnant of grace, is we need to look at all the great things that God has given us. His Word, His Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, His church, the relationships that we have in the body of Christ, the family that God has given us, all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. We look at these things and we're so grateful for them, and then we respond by saying, and now I get to live for you.
Yeah.
And now I have the opportunity to serve you. And now I have the privilege of being able to be your disciple, to be your person. And that's how grace should be lived out in our life. It's not I have to, it's a I get to. This is wonderful. This is fantastic what God has done for me. Do we think in these terms? It's Sunday. I have to go to church. Or it's Sunday. I get to go to church.
Yeah.
Do we think of, I have to read my Bible today. Or I have the eternal Word of God at my fingertips. I get to read God's Word today. What a privilege to have the Word of God at our fingertips. Oh, I have to share my faith with someone. Or, wow, the world is lost. God has saved me. Of all the people in the world, God has chosen me. I'm one of the saved. I get to share with people. I have good news that other people need.
Yeah.
And that's the response of grace versus the response of work. We have a special contribution coming up on June 11th. Oh, it's that time of year again. Now I'm going to start hearing about projects in Africa, the internship program in New York, and I have to give. Or, a special contribution again. I have the opportunity to help people around the world, on the other side of the world, become disciples,
yeah.
Build ministries,
yep.
Put people in the ministry. I have the opportunity of helping young people who have a heart and a dream of being in the ministry, to be trained in the ministry. I have the privilege of being able to give. Which is it for you? See, we're a remnant of grace. That means that we respond to the blessings of God with not, I have to do this, but I'm privileged to do this.
Yeah.
Most of you know that Lee and I, we have a grandson.
Oh, yeah.
Most of you have met our grandson. He had his one-year birthday last week, and we celebrated the Saturday before last. And so when Bradley turned one, and we got over there a little early to the house to be able to help out, and I was originally assigned to keep the music going. Okay? And Chester was like, Dad, keep the Beatles playing. And I was like, that's not a great assignment, But I was like, okay, I'll keep the music going. But then I started seeing that, Bradley was everywhere, which he tends to be. He's 1 year old. And so I just started following him. And then Chester was like, oh, Dad, this is so great. Can you keep up with Bradley? You know, can you just be with him? And I was like, that's what I wanted to do to start with. Okay? He gave me music. And I would much rather be with Bradley. And he's perpetual motion. And he was going up the stairs and down the stairs and up the stairs and down the stairs, which meant that I was going up the stairs and down the stairs and up the stairs and down the stairs. And every now and then he'll crawl over to me and he'll grab the leg of my pants and he'll just pull on, which means pick me up, Grandpa. And I pick him up and then he'll start pointing to things he'd like to do. That, that, that. Except it's more like dad, dad, dad. And I go wherever he wanted to go. And let me tell you, that was a tiring job. That was a much more tiring job than keep the music going, okay? But for me, it wasn't a, I have to do this. For me, it was, I get to be with my grandson on his first birthday, and I have the privilege of watching him go wherever he wants to go. And I think when we understand God, that's the difference in our attitude. It's I have the privilege of serving God. I get to do this. It's no more have to. It's now I get to. Because of God's graciousness towards us. We are part of his remnant of grace. The second point is in verse 11 through verse 24, and it's the grafting in of the Gentiles. I'll just read this and make a couple of comments. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. That's an important verse right there. Israel didn't fall so that they wouldn't recover, but God has opened up the kingdom now to the Gentiles, and he's done that in order to make Israel be drawn back to the kingdom. And it says, but in verse 12, but if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? So as they come back, it's going to mean even more people will be saved. Now I'm talking to you Gentiles, and as much as it is as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what would their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap of the olive root. Do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. And you say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider, therefore, the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness of those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. But if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut off of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now, this is a bit difficult to follow, but he's basically saying that Israel was the root, and of course, feeding and nourishing the root is God himself. Some of the branches fell off of the tree. They weren't faithful. But now others have been grafted in. And those are the Gentiles. And those are going to be nourished by God as well. But he says, don't be arrogant about that. Instead, realize that you've got to stay in God's kindness yourself. Because there's a potential that you'll fall off the tree if you don't keep getting nourished by God. And that's really, I think, the big point that he's making here, is that anyone who is in Christ Jesus, you've been grafted in. Again, it's a grace thing. None of us deserve our salvation. None of us have earned our salvation. None of us could do enough to earn our salvation. We are disciples because we've been chosen by God and because he has given us his grace. Therefore, don't be arrogant about that. Instead, stay in the kindness of God. Always recognize you have been saved by grace. You are saved by grace. And be responsive to the blessings that God has given you. And in that way, you'll stay true to who God is, true to who God wants you to be, and you'll be able to help other people around you. So don't be arrogant about the fact that you have been included in the remnant, that you've been grafted into the tree. And I think there's, unfortunately, a part of us, human nature, that we tend to get arrogant. We tend to get prideful. And we also tend at times to get self-righteous. And we need to really pray that God cleanses us of those things. You know, the fact that we've been able to read the scriptures and respond to it, that's just simply the grace of God. And there's nothing great that we've done. The fact that we get to understand the Bible and understand it and its doctrinal purity, that's the grace of God. And so we don't need to grow self-righteous because of that. Instead, we need to realize that being a part of the remnant of God is a part of accepting His kindness into our lives. And we also need to understand that God is the God of the remnant. We're not the ones who control or fix the borders of the remnant anyway. That's all God and all God's doing. So there's no room for pride. There's no room for arrogance. There's definitely never any room for self-righteousness. Instead, we just need to say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Thank you, God, for allowing me in your remnant. Amen. And then respond with a heart that wants to do anything and everything that we can do to please God and to glorify Him. In the next section, he talks about all Israel being saved. And again, this is another tough section in Romans. Let me just read it. Verse 25. You guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn goodness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gift and his call are irrevocable. So now Paul has talked about the Gentiles being grafted in, and he turns back to Israel again. And he talks about how they've experienced a hardening of the heart, but God's going to continue to work on them, as God does. That's who God is. He continues to work on us. And thankfully, sometimes when we do experience a lack of faith in our lives, God doesn't give up on us. He continues to pursue us, because that's who He is. He's a loving Father, and He will always be after us so that we will know Him. But then it says there's going to be this full number of Gentiles come in, and then He says, and so all Israel will be saved. Now, that's a difficult passage of Scripture right there. What does he mean by all Israel being saved? Some say, well, what it means is that anyone who's born in Judaism, born a part of Israel, is automatically going to be saved. Therefore, there's no need to even reach out to anyone who is of the Jewish faith. But I don't think that that is consistent even with the idea of a remnant theology that Paul is talking about in this passage right here. Instead, I think Paul, what he's doing is, he's redefining Israel at this point. And he's really defining Israel by saying that anyone who is now grafted in, whether they be Jew or they be Gentile or they be anyone of faith, anyone who is grafted in is now going to be a part of a new Israel. And this new Israel, all of that new Israel, is going to be saved. Therefore, in a sense, and this is talked about not just here in Romans, but it's talked about in Hebrews, it's talked about some in a predictive way in the Gospels, is that there is going to be a new Israel, and anyone who responds to God with faith is going to be a part of that new Israel. And that Israel is going to be saved by God, because he's talking about the remnant. He's talking about the people of faith, people who are coming together, living in faith, responding to the grace of God, and these are the people that are going to be saved. And so all of Israel, it applies really to the whole of the remnant of God. Just as he has mentioned right above this, anyone who has been grafted in. Okay? Now, I know that's a theological point, and I know that I just lost some of you there on that. I get that. But let's close out in a fantastic way, right, which is just by praising God.
Yeah.
And this is how I started, and this is how I'm ending. Because I think this passage of Scripture, to me, is one of the best passages of Scripture in the whole of the Bible. I love this passage. And it's in verses 30 through 46. I'm sorry, through 36. There we go. What about the rest of humanity? What about all of humanity?
Amen.
And it's like Paul, after covering these three chapters, which are, they're intense chapters. They are. There's a lot of deep theological thoughts in these three chapters. It's like, okay, I've got that done. What's left to do? Let's pray. Let's praise God. And then he just includes this tremendous doxology. Words of praise to God, glorifying God. So verse 30, just as you were at one time disobedient to God and now receive mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. You see a word that appears over and over there? Mercy. Another way of saying that is grace. It's all about the grace of God. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that they may have, he may have mercy on them. That idea again, God being a merciful, graceful God. But then he goes into this beautiful, beautiful, it's a hymn really, a hymn or a prayer. Well, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has ever given God that God should repay him? The answer to all those questions is no one. God is so much greater than we are. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
I put the scripture in my Facebook post this week and just sort of left it there. And I tried to see, how people would respond to it. And I got some great responses. In fact, one person helped me out. I wrote it down, and I mistyped, and I put Romans 12. And so he corrected me and said, hey, it's Romans 11. I was like, thanks. And I went back and I edited it, Romans 11. Another person said, I memorized the whole chapter of Romans chapter 12. That's a beautiful chapter. He said that I memorized these verses leading into it.
Yeah.
Because I think Romans 12 is a response to the greatness of God.
Yeah.
I was like, amen. That's a great insight. Another person wrote, Steve, do you think this is a pre-Pauline confessional? But I didn't even answer him. Because I thought, you're missing it, dude. You're missing the point of this. Don't go thinking about if it's pre-Pauline or Pauline, just pay attention to the words.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the sentiment. Pay attention to what Paul is saying here. And I think that's what I want us to do today. I think Paul concludes these three difficult chapters with a hymn of praise because God always deserves our praise.
Yeah.
And when we think about the great things of God, we're not always going to be able to understand everything about God, his sovereignty, the idea of the remnant. These things, they're difficult to understand. But one thing that we can always do is realize that God is God and he deserves our praise.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul does here. He turns his attention to the mind of God. And he says, let's think about the mind of God for a moment. Let's think of his intellect. Let's try to imagine his powers of reasoning. We can try, but we'll fail. Because he's so far beyond us. His mind is too great for us to understand. We cannot know the mind of God. We cannot serve as a counselor to God. We have no advice to give him. We don't have the gifts to give God that he would expect anything in return. Why? Because he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Anything that we try to give God, he's already given to us anyway. And we are more stewards of the things that he has given to us. He gives gifts. So there's nothing that we can give him that he hasn't already given to us. All things are in him and through him. And nothing exists that has not been brought into existence, that he has not brought into existence. And so what's our response to the greatness of God? Just to constantly be in awe of him.
Yeah.
And then to, as best we can, see that he's given us grace, therefore respond to what he's given us.
Yes.
Do we have that kind of heart? I heard a story this week about the church in Jakarta and how they started an orphanage. And most of the population of Jakarta is Muslim. So they started this orphanage, and the government said, if a Muslim child comes into your orphanage, you have to make the Muslim child available to Muslim families. You can only give the child to Muslim families. But if the child comes in and he's Christian or you don't know the origin, then any family can adopt that child. So far, of all the children that come into the orphanage that aren't Muslims, they've all gone to people in the church in Jakarta. They've taken all of them. But there was one person who was actually a leader of one of the Muslim groups who lived in that neighborhood. And he heard about the orphanage, he heard about the adoption of children, and he wanted to make sure that the Muslim children, they weren't being adopted to Christian families. And so he started investigating. In fact, he went in as a worker just to help out, just to volunteer. But the whole time he was there, he was a spy. He never let them know. He was just there working and looking around and looking and looking and looking. And he had a whole group of people that were his followers, and a whole group of people that at any moment, if he had said, "Let's shut this down," they would have shut it down. But he saw, as he went in there, he saw the love of the disciples. He saw the love that the children were getting. He saw that they were abiding by the government standards. He saw that the children were getting such good care that they couldn't compare it to any other place that was doing what this orphanage was doing. And so in time, he went back to his group and he said, "Guys, these people, they're legitimate. These people are doing a good thing for these kids. Leave them alone." But that's not all. Because he saw the love of God in the hearts of these people, he decided himself, "I'm going to become a Christian." And he left Islam, and he became a part of the church, and he is our brother in Christ. And why? Why would he do that? He went in as a spy. He went in to see what was going wrong, but he saw God in the hearts of these people. And he saw people responding to the greatness of God. And then it changed his own heart and changed his own life. And that's how Paul closes here. We might not understand everything that Paul said in Romans 9, 10, and 11. I certainly don't. But one thing I do understand, God is great. God is awesome. God deserves our worship and praise. And therefore, let's respond to God by not having to, but getting to be his follower. Amen.
Amen.